Talisman by Paul Murdoch. Chapter 2. The Stranger. James stopped inside a corrugated tunnel and steadied himself on the cold steel wall. Fighting for every lungful of air, he fumbled for his inhaler and eagerly sucked in the snowy white mist. A horrible sensation of drowning had built in his chest, but within seconds it began to ease. Coughing out the majority of the mist and still panting, he staggered on through the tunnel until he could see the familiar moss-covered rooftops of Drumfintly. He'd let a wretched bag of trampled fur freak him out, and he'd run off like a maniac and nearly triggered an asthma attack into the bargain. He shuddered at the thought of having an asthma attack while he was alone out on the moor. Just as lethal as being mauled to death by a big cat, he thought, and a lot more likely. He took a shaky breath and felt the blood rush to his cheeks. The familiar noise of cars and lorries roaring along the bypass overhead brought him back to reality. Even the underpass smell of stale wine and whey made him feel better. Breathing more easily, he headed down to the village shop on Main Street. The store stocked a good selection of wildlife books for the odd tourist who stumbled into the village, usually by mistake. There was a good chance of finding a picture of a weasel or a stoat in one of those, and he needed something to take his mind off the feeling of dread that had engulfed him on the moor. Not wanting to attract the attention of the gossip mongers, James sneaked into the store behind the Italian sweet shop owner, Mrs. Galdini, and hunkered down out of sight. He rummaged unseen amongst a muddle of magazines and books before pausing to listen. He could hear the unmistakable voice of the village drunk, Gouser, a stout, scruffy man who held his trousers up with orange twine and sported a moth-eaten soldier's jacket that stank of stale booze.
"No doubt about it," growled Gouser, in an affected Irish lilt. "Cathy Peck has the temperament of a cur, so she has."
"Rubbish!"
Mrs. Galdini exclaimed. On hearing his mum's name, James made a small space between the magazines and peered through. He could see Mrs. Galdini's appalled expression and smiled to himself as she bristled to his mum's defence.
"There's nothing wrong with Cathy Peck," she announced.
Gouser placed another pack of square sausage on the counter and nodded his head.
"No, Dad's right. Nothing that a 20-year stretch in the neck couldn't fix."
He turned his back on Mrs. Galdini and addressed the checkout girl.
"Ever seen the Peck woman in one of her rants?" Gouser slurred "rants" and then steadied himself against the till.
The skinny checkout girl giggled and leaned forward. She spoke softly.
"Of course. Wait until I tell you this one."
Gouser screwed up his face in a toothless grin as he spun round to face Mrs. Galdini.
"See?"
The girl began.
"Cathy Peck came in last Christmas for some custard."
She drummed her fingers on the till.
"Anyway, she had her son and that poor husband of hers with her. Well, for reasons best known to herself, Mrs. Peck began shouting. Went for her man there and then, like some deranged tiger."
James twitched at the mention of the word tiger. The checkout girl gave Gouser a swift nod.
"That buy of hers was so embarrassed."
She took Gouser's money and handed him back his change. But the Irishman wasn't ready to leave. Mrs. Galdini fidgeted impatiently in the queue behind them. The checkout girl continued.
"After screaming at him like a maniac, Cathy Peck actually grabbed her man by the throat. When her son asked her to calm down, she clattered him right across the ear and then barged out of the shop."
James rubbed his left ear as he recalled the clout. Gouser moved closer and assumed a pirate-like tone, his voice husky and gravelly.
"The throat, you said?"
The checkout girl looked confused.
"Well, I think it was."
"You said the Peck woman grabbed her man by the throat, didn't you?"
Gouser persisted. The checkout assistant nodded, looking unsure of herself.
"Now that's where you're off the mark," roared Gouser.
His deep wrinkles and his ruddy face shifted to form a smug expression.
"David Peck wasn't strangled."
He moved his puffed up lips close to the girl's ear and, in a whisper laced with spit, said, He was poisoned. The pea of poison was to blame for the biggest dousing of phlegm. Poisoned? She yelped, furiously wiping her ear with the edge of her sleeve. The checkout girl's startled expression had caused several other shoppers to shop a little closer. James watched as Mrs. Galdini, losing patience, pushed Gowser aside. While holding her nose, she handed the checkout girl the exact amount for a tub of double cream and shook her head. It's stupido, she scolded nasally.
And what about the big cats at my bins, eh? And why did the police arrest old Archie McNulty then?
Gowser waved Mrs. Galdini and her suggestions away with a terse flick of his thick, dirty fingers. Away with you. There's no big cats around here. He paused, pulling on the twine that held up his trousers. As for McNulty, well, he was just the last person to see him alive, that's all. McNulty's always up in the moor poaching with his ferrets.
You're a rude man,
said Mrs. Galdini, her pencilled brows scrunching into a petulant frown. As she made for the door, six other shoppers looked away, needlessly busying themselves to avoid her gaze. She was well known for putting a hex on people, or worse, banning them from her sweet shop. She sold the best homemade tablet in the world, and the tastiest ice cream. Nobody had noticed James flicking through the wildlife books, which had revealed that the squashed animal on the moor had been a stoat. And now, kneeling behind the wall of crisps, comics and magazines, he didn't dare to move. His only thought was how he might escape from the shop unseen before people became overcome with embarrassment and apologised, or pretended they were talking about something else other than his mum and dad. He couldn't believe that the villagers thought his mum was a murderer. It was bad enough that they thought his dad had deserted them. James felt nauseous. The shop door had just swung shut behind Mrs. Galdini when the bell pinged. A newcomer's massive frame loomed over the till, and everyone stopped flustering and gossiping. James, still clutching the wildlife book, looked down at the stranger's feet. There were no spindly toes, but the stranger himself was a bit of an oddity. He was so tall that his head had clipped some of the dangly advertising boards that swung from the ceiling. In his left hand was a large, gnarled stick. His clothes were old-fashioned, even frumpy, and made of a material James had never seen before. Long black hair fell over his broad shoulders, giving him the appearance of an eccentric hippie, or maybe a rock musician. The stranger's voice was exceptionally deep.
"Good day," he said. "Could someone point me in the direction of Drumfindley Park?"
Those in the shop looked at each other, wondering who would answer first. Suspicious of anyone who kept their sunglasses on side, they hesitated. James stood up. "I can help." The whole shop, with the exception of the stranger, gasped at seeing James Peck emerge from behind the comic rack. But James knew this was his only way to leave with some sense of purpose and pride. He placed his book back on the shelf. "I can take you there if you like," he offered. He struggled to stifle a building asthmatic cough, which threatened to splutter and hiss from his lips as he moved closer to the door.
"Thank you, but a few pointers will suffice," said the stranger.
James wasn't sure what suffice meant, but he took his chance and stepped out onto the pavement with a huge sigh of relief, glad to be free of the shopper's stares and mutterings. The stranger followed, then stopped for a moment to take in the warm, Drumfindley air, before scratching at his temple irritably for a few seconds and staring down at James. "It's not far," James reassured, squinting against the glaring sunlight. "You see the church spire?" He pointed towards St. Donan's.
"Indeed I do,"
replied the stranger, moving past him.
"Well," James shouted after him, "when you get as far as the church, turn right and you'll see the park."
"Thank you, and many felicitations to you, my boy," the stranger replied.
"Felicitations?" James raised his hand to wave, but the stranger didn't look back. James watched the tall stranger for a few moments. His mannerisms were, well, unusual. He moved with a strange deliberation, stopping every so often to sniff the air like a wild animal. Curious, James decided to follow him.